Senate Rules Committee will come to order. We have several items here that are late bills or other items, so we have to just work through them. First one, Senate File 3193. There was, as I understand it, this is here because of late bill, but this is, at one point, a mistake was made somewhere, I forget if it was at the desk or where a LATS bill got tied up with this bill. And so this is really, this bill was inadvertently held up. And I don't know anything about the merits of the bill. That's not really the issue here. The issue is that this is a bill that would have been on general orders if a mistake hadn't been made. Senator Clark moves that Senate File 3193. Is it adopted or just put on?
Mr. Chairman, in the normal case, when a bill comes here under Joint Rule 2.03, the committee has recommended that it go someplace, and in this case, I assume it's to the floor. And if it's a late bill, then the Rules Committee, if it's permitting it to move forward, simply recommends that the report from the committee on wherever it was be adopted.
Senator Rest, what did the report from the Committee on Senate File 3193 say? Was it referred to some committee or?
No, Mr. Chairman, 3193 was referred to the floor. It did not need to go to any other committee.
Okay.
We're good.
The motion then, Senator Clark moves that 3193 be referred to the floor. Placed on general orders. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion adopted.
Thank you, Senator Rest. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Vickerman, I saw you here. Senate File 3683, this is the Omnibus Agriculture and Veterans Policy Bill. And there must be a provision in here for a consul or something, Senator Vickerman.
Mr. Chair, if you look on page 42, Section 52, the task force legislative members were put on in Senator Rest's bill. Senator Dill carried the bill, and it's a task force to study urban sprawl, see if we can keep land back where we. The only reason it's here is because of that task force. That's on page 42, Mr. Chair.
Case and Senator Langseth moves A9 amendment.
What's the A9?
It's coming. This puts it in the form we normally do, where it's a subcommittee on committees. I think Senator Vickerman's okay with the amendment. Discussion on the length of motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion adopted. Okay. I think that's it. As long as members, are we willing to have this? How long is this going to expire?
June 2009.
Okay. Anything else? Senator Langseth then moves that Senate File 3683, as amended, be recommended to pass. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Aye. Motion adopted.
Thank you, Senator Vickerman. Members of committee.
Senator Anderson was here, or Chaudhry. Senator Chaudhry. Senate File 3488 is here because on page 2, Subcommittee on Rules and Administration's doing something. Senator Chaudhry, we have passed some language that's in the finance bill. Is that what this language is? So this is the same language?
Yes.
Okay. And do you want to vote? I guess potentially this could become the... there's some discussion. We're taking all the language out of these finance bills, and they need a vehicle that this potentially could be the vehicle for one of those bills. I think that's where we're at. There's no determination that this will be the vehicle, but there's apparently might be a fish and wildlife bill and an environment bill, or they all might be in the same bill. Senator Chaudhry, give us a little heads up. You've been visiting with the House.
We've had some preliminary discussions about discussing putting them all together.
Okay. And this potentially could be that vehicle.
Actually, although its companion is still in committee in the House. So,
Senator Bach.
Well, that was my question, Mr. Chairman, is what's the status of the House companion?
It's still in their committee. However, if they decided that they would like it to be the vehicle, I suppose they could move it out by a floor motion if there was, you know, the substance of this was cleared out.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's kind of my point of why the Rules Committee would move on a bill that the rules are dead in the House.
Are there other vehicles, potentially?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't really need this on the floor.
Well, I'd like the Senate to pass the standalone bill, yes.
Well, we've already passed it as a full Senate, though.
Yes, but...
is the same language.
Yes, but there's no guarantee that that's going to be accepted by the House. So I'd like to make sure that this moves to the Senate so that we can pass off of the Senate floor.
But if the
standalone bill.
But if the House doesn't agree to take it up as a separate bill, then that doesn't get you any further. There's an agreement to take the language out of the finance bill, and it'll be in a policy vehicle. It's available for a policy vehicle. There's no guarantee the House will agree to do it. But it's available for a policy vehicle. And there'll be a policy vehicle. And that's what you're dealing with the House as to what that might be, what vehicle that might be, right?
We are. Yes, I guess if you're going to use that argument, yes, Your Honor. Your Honor. Your Honor and Your Honorable Mr. Chairman, it could be yet another potential reason why we can move this to the floor.
Because the House may choose to make the counterpart House file the vehicle.
That would be one of the reasons, yes.
Michelle, do we know where we are on this? So why don't we just agree we would not take this up on the floor unless the decision is between the House and the Senate to use this Senate file and the House file as the vehicle? Because there's no reason. We've already passed this in the Senate. Could you agree to that, Senator Bach? That we won't take this up unless we need it for the vehicle and the House wants to have it as the vehicle.
Well, the Senate has a position on this.
Right.
It's this language. I just don't know how many bills the Rules Committee is going to hear and move to the floor that the House are already dead in the other body. I mean, I don't understand kind of the point of that, I guess.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Bach, who knows what could change between now and then? And you know, I'd like to have this on the Senate floor to be ready. Why would we, Mr. Chair, why would we not pass this to the Senate floor?
Well, because Senator Bach makes the point that there's a whole lot of people who have bills that haven't passed the House that they'll want us to send to the Senate floor. Why don't we do this? If we need this as a vehicle, we can pop it out of here like that. I mean, the key point is the Senate has passed this piece of legislation already. It's already out of the Senate. The Senate has a position. And it will be alive in a policy conference committee, as yet undetermined what the House and Senate file number is.
So
I think you're where you need to be, Senator Chaudhry.
I think, Senator Pogomar, I think you're right. I think a whole lot of people have probably got a project that they've been working on that they never got out of committee in the House. And I don't think we should establish as a precedent in the Rules Committee that we move things through here that are dead in the other body. That's all.
But the difference here is this has actually passed the Senate. This has passed the Senate. And all Senator Chaudhry is asking for is let's have it up there just in case we need it. That's all he's asking. Because it's passed the Senate. This is not an issue of it hasn't passed either body. Let's keep it alive. That's the difference I see. So, I mean, I can go either way on this. What does the committee want to do? I don't think this sets that big a precedent because it's already passed the Senate. And there's apparently very complex negotiations going on between the House and the Senate on how to move these various issues forward. You've met with Senator Representative Dill and Representative
Eakin,
and those are and Senator Saxhog, and it was this wonderful meeting, and we're all hoping it stays wonderful. And there's no secret here. There's always a struggle beyond fish bill, game and fish bills, and other stuff. And I think they're trying to figure out if they're going to be two separate bills or one big bill that they all agree to. Could go either way right now.
Chairman,
House isn't going to take something it doesn't want to take, presumably. Huh. Senator Chaudhry absolutely can't force something on the House. I mean, that's a fact. They're either going to take some of this or they're not. Senator Bach.
Chairman, I for one don't see the harm in moving this out of here. I think it's a little comfort for a lot of people out there, and it doesn't hurt anything to move it out, in my opinion.
Metzen moves Senate File 3488.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sundrum.
Mr. Chair, could Senator Chaudhry just, it's perhaps something we should have caught on the floor, at least to the standpoint of the minority, but I'm trying to understand. Obviously, in many cases,
this is Engelbert's amendment. Remember, this is Engelbert's amendment.
The last amendment being a case in point. We talk about a division of minority and majority members, and for instance, just on line 2.5 and 2.16, and I'm not sure if they contradict each other or not. I don't have the essence of thought here on the as far as how the language flows, but it would seem, for instance, in 2.5 and 2.6. There potentially is no room for the minority. But maybe that's corrected in line 216, and I'm not getting the linkage. But and then going on to 3.1, there's no mention of minority. And, again, this may be one of our senator's amendments, but typically around here we do suggest a ratio of 2-1 or something like that. Some room for the minority in these things.
Doesn't 216.17 take care of it?
It may, and I'm just not understanding.
I think it does.
If you round up enough revenue,
Senator Sundrum, if this ever becomes law,
and
if I'm majority leader, we're going to have the ratio.
We're on tape.
Mr. Chair, Senator Sundrum.
I think the language actually says that.
It may, and that's, I'm just.
There's no intent to exclude the minority. If there's some drafting that would help provide comfort, we can certainly do that.
Okay.
It says it.
Mm-hmm. That's fine for now.
I think Senate Counsel says that it says what you wanted to say.
Okay.
It could have been more artfully drafted, but.
It says it at least as the paragraph A.
Right.
Paragraph.
Okay. Mr. Chair, that's okay for today. If this finds its way to the floor, we may have an amendment.
We're going to put you on this conference committee if you're not careful.
I have to vote yes, right?
So on the Metzen motion, any discussion? Senator Bach, thanks for your patience on this. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, motion adopted. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Chaudhry. This is here because it has some kind of legislative appointments.
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Where is that, Senator Anderson?
Mr. Chair and members, this is Senate File 2818, which is the Green Solutions Act. It has a legislative advisory group appointed on page 2, starts at 2.5, and you're probably familiar, I'm certainly familiar by now, with the process of going through Senator Rest Committee and having it put in one format, and then here, I know the Rules Committee prefers a different format for appointments of majority and minority members.
Do you have that one again?
And I know there's an amendment to put it in the shape that the Rules Committee prefers, which, you know, Mr. Chair, I'm agnostic.
Okay, Senator Metzen moves the A18. This puts it in the shape of how we typically do this, I guess.
Thank you. I'll move the amendment.
On the Metzen motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Okay, then Senator Metzen moves that Senate File 2818 as amended.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Bach.
I think this bill was amended a number of times, I think, Senator Anderson.
Yes.
But I don't think we ever got around to amending the title. Because I notice on line 1.2 it says establishing principles. The principles, I think, that were originally in this bill aren't in the bill anymore. So I'm wondering if we should amend the title.
Okay, what would it be? What would it say?
I would suggest, Mr. Chairman, that on line 1.2 you delete the words establishing principles of, and you insert requiring a report on, then continue the sentence.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bach, I don't object to updating the language to be more accurate, even though, of course, I like the principles, but they've been gone for quite a while. The only thing that would leave out is the concept that what we're doing is establishing legislative input into the governor's Midwestern negotiating process, and it doesn't mention that. I don't know what the purpose of the title is exactly anyway, or if anyone will ever read it, but that is a really important part of this bill. It essentially does those two things. It does require reports, which are studies of economic and environmental cost and benefit analysis of a cap and trade, and it also appoints legislators to participate at least as observers in the Midwest Regional Greenhouse Gas Agreement negotiations that are going on with governors. And I think that's important as legislators that we're establishing that we have a role in this really critical process.
Senator Bach, how about striking establishing principles and put requiring a report on and legislative input in development?
Mr. Chair, that works for me.
It's better than establishing principles that aren't in here anymore.
So strike establishing principles and insert requiring a report on and legislative input in development. Okay, on the Bach motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Okay, then Senator Metzen does renew his motion on Senate File 2818. Discussion. It be referred to the floor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and committee members.
Okay, then members, now we have a real bill.
In your opinion.
I think I'll turn this over to Senator Senjum.
Well, I don't get it. I'm not
going to. You should have been 12 members already. I think that's the
commission. Senator Pogemiller, Senate File 2211.
Mr. Chairman, members, Senate File 2211 is a bill, not a constitutional amendment. It's a bill for creation of a legislative and congressional redistricting commission to do redistricting at the decade's turn. I think members are currently aware of the process, how redistricting is done. The legislature puts together a plan and tries to get the governor's signature, and if that happens, You've got a plan, and then somebody typically tries to sue to say yes or no. And there's been, there was a commission put together through the Humphrey Institute that Vice President Mondale, Senator Roger Moe, Senator Governor, former Governor Arne Carlson, former Governor Quay, and others, Secretary of State Joan Groh, and others were on where they decided that one of their two priorities was to come up with a new redistricting process for Minnesota. And so what this bill does is it creates a commission that would be appointed by the House and the Senate. Under this construct, it would be former judges, retired judges, and they would draw maps for both legislative and congressional redistricting. I believe that this bill, I don't believe the House intends to take this bill up this year, but I thought it would be good if the Senate at least processed it so that the discussion would be alive and there could be further, we're 2 or 3 years ahead of this happening, and so this would basically continue the discussion and allow the commission that the Vice President and former governors have been on to continue the debate around Minnesota. And I must say that having personally been involved in redistricting twice now, and Senator Moe personally incentive drawing the maps, having responsibility for that, and Senator Moe, who had, I believe did it 3 or 4 times, when they first came to me with this bill, I asked Senator Moe, are you serious? And he said he personally was convinced after that, having done that 3 or 4 times, that this might be a better way. And I guess I think it might be a better way, too, because I think there's quite a bit of misunderstanding of this process. And I think one of the misunderstandings is that somehow you can draw a map that gives you overall better political position than the other party. And I think the last couple decades have shown evidence that even though the plan was drawn by, for example, the year the plan that Democrats got into law, Governor Carlson messed up the veto, and we got the Democratic plan into law, by mid-decade, the Republicans had taken over the House. And I think there's examples of that all over the country. And I think there's a urban myth that somehow if you draw a plan that is relatively based on principles, that you can somehow get massive partisan advantage. And so I must say that I'm not sure having judges do it is the right approach. So that's the one area. I am pretty sure that having a commission do it makes some sense. I'm not sure that having judges do it makes sense. And I think that would be a further discussion once the House decides to take this up. And I would guess they might take it up next year. I think it's probably not going to be processed in the House this year. So, Senator Berger. Oh, I'm sorry.
Senator Berger.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I think whether judges or certain judges would be in the best position to do this job is a question in my own mind, because I think it takes some knowledge, both of the geographic interests around the state, as well as having knowledge of communities of color and where they divide along the various communities that they live in. And I don't know if judges are, well, I don't know if there are judges that especially sort of focus on that.
I understand that if the legislature can't accomplish the job of getting a reapportionment plan passed and signed, that it falls to some judges. But I'm not sure that just any judges, I mean, the judges that usually are prepared to take up the job if they are needed to do that, are somewhat versed in this and have been preparing themselves for this and are looking at what the legislature's been trying to do as sort of a guide to them. And in this case, the legislature wouldn't be doing anything. There'd be no guide. So I think that does, I think there needs to be some more discussion. Maybe there's a mechanism for the appointees to become prepared to do the job. I don't know, but I think just right out of the chute, I don't think we can assume that.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Pogue.
Chairman, Senator Berglund, I want to point out that on the first two pages, the criteria for drawing districts is laid out.
Yes,
and that criteria is based on the criteria that was either actually adopted or was used by the legislature in Minnesota over the last three decades. And it's based on both court decisions nationally and Minnesota tradition. The only addition is on 2.28 and 2.29, where it says districts must be created to encourage political competitiveness. That is not a criteria that was used in Minnesota over the years. It is kind of the emerging criteria around the country that groups like the Humphrey Institute and the Mondale Carlson and Cui Commission are promoting. That would be the new addition. And it is, so there's not a lot of either court or political history on what that exactly means. Everything else in here has precise court cases related to it that people who are involved in redistricting know what it means. So the only new thing in there is that political competitiveness. But I fundamentally agree with your point that why would five retired judges be any better than anybody else? I would just argue that, I suggest that the commission that brought this type of legislation forward believes that that brings some kind of independent gravitas to the process.
Others?
Well, it's
Senator Metzen?
Comment that in the district I represent, I thought the judges last time did a terrible job. They came across a river, cut a city in two, they added another county to the district, and it was just a mismatch of, so that group of judges, didn't follow the House, the Senate, Republicans, Democrats, governor, changed the whole thing out my way, but in one respect, it's pretty good. We have five state legislators in a town of 18,000 people. Think of that. And I don't think that's unheard of. So the judges didn't do good our way last time. And then I think it talks about in subdivision 4 about the continuity of the crossing rivers or waters, and you're not supposed to do that unless it's the same city, and that's exactly what they did out in South St. Paul, Minnesota. So,
Mr. Chairman, it actually,
Senator Pogue,
the court decisions have said that contiguity by water is sufficient.
Well, I don't like their decision. Because you have, then I'm done, but out our way, Newport Cottage Grove is not that similar to Dakota County, South St. Paul, Minnesota. I mean, it's a different county. We have different interests. I don't know if I'm talking for or against your bill, but I had to get that out sometime, someday, and I just did it, Senator Sinjum.
Okay, others?
Well,
Senator Fritt?
Senator Bach? Just for curiosity, do we know how
Congressman Oberstar feels. Do we know how other congressional members feel about this?
Senator Pogomila?
Just curious.
I've not asked any of them.
Senator Frederickson?
Mr. Chairman, a plan developed by the courts, as I read this, would still have to be passed by the legislature, signed by the governor.
Yes, but you can't modify it.
You can't modify it. But if a body in the legislature decided not to pass it, it would still go to a district court, and I assume either federal or state. So they'd still be looking at a body of the legislature might still look at, are we better off with what's passed here, or do we take our chances with a court drawing us a plan? This would be no guarantee that the legislature would pass a redistricting plan.
Senator Pogomiller, comments?
I think that's correct. I think the feeling is, by the commission, this reform commission, is that the gravitas of this being done in the end would lead to adoption by the legislature. Because if the plan follows these various principles, there may be a situation like Senator Metzen's, and there probably will be around the state, where somebody goes, that's nuts, that doesn't make any sense. But if the plan is done based on all these principles, pretty much a majority of the legislature will go. Because that is always the circumstance. There always are a few districts that you just kind of go, oh, my gosh. And it's because you have to end up somewhere. And it may be, I don't know when the court did this particular plan, where if you were kind of that community where it kind of ended up when they were done.
But Chairman, I think it was the end of the day that they had to figure ours out. I can't prove that.
You know, there's certain things you do. You kind of start in a corner of the state, kind of, and there are certain things that become pretty obvious. I remember one decade we were doing the southwestern part of the state, and if you took, it was Senator Vickerman's district, if you took the exact correct number of counties in a nicely drawn district, it was perfect. And you sit there and you kind of go, okay, that makes sense. And then you go to the next district. And so somehow that leads to, and usually it's in the growth areas where some things start to happen where there's not the same traditions. And you end up cutting up communities and stuff because it's just going to end up somewhere. I have no idea if that's what happened in Jim's area. But in the rural areas, it's real clear. You try to stick with counties. And if you got to split a county, you try to figure out a way to split it in a way that makes sense, and it's...
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Frederickson.
Going back to being contingent by water, if you go back about three redistrictings ago, there was one township in Le Sueur County on the east side of the Mississippi River that got put in the same congressional district as Nicollet County, which was on the west side of the river, and it was about a 15 to 20 mile drive to get from Nicollet County across the river over to the one township in Le Sueur County that was in that congressional district. They very much felt like orphans. And we tried to get, and it didn't make much difference population-wise, and we tried to get them put back with the rest of Le Sueur County, and the legislature and congressmen were reluctant for doing it, to do it for fear it would open up the whole redistricting debate again. That's what it was for 10 years.
Senator Pogomiller.
I think Senator Frederickson has pointed out something that can get lost when you turn it over to non-legislators. Just that kind of local knowledge and experience is something that easily fits into a legislative redistricting plan. So that's one of the things you lose. And we had all kinds of circumstances like that the couple times I did it, where members of both parties would come to you and say, gee, you know, we've been living with this for 10 years. Does that make any sense? And you try to fix those things. But you also end up with a circumstance where a committee chairman comes to you and says, you know, it really makes a lot of sense if I don't have that town anymore. And from that incumbent's perspective, it makes a lot of sense to get rid of those people. But those people might actually be the right community of interest for that district. And that's the downside of doing it in the legislature. You have other things going on. And it's a balancing act. I mean, One of the things that I actually think we might want to consider if the House proceeds on this is if we do a separate panel, we would actually allow appointment of kind of the best person from that political party, the smartest political operative from every side, because that maybe then could lead to a district, to districts that make sense, and also experts are working on it. And assuming both sides have equal influence on the map, maybe works out. That's something we might want to consider. That gets to the point Senator Berglund brought up. Do you really want people who don't know what they're doing to do it? And you maybe don't.
Senator Berglund, or Senator Pogemiller, at least I recall in 2002 the courts, and I think they did this all over the state, but they did have public hearings. I know they did it in my community, and so they do get input into these nuances that are out there. But Senator Pogemiller,
Mr. Chairman, this does require public hearings on line page 3, lines 326 and 327.
Senator Pogan, I have a question. Let's just look at lines 2-2 or 0.22 versus 2.28, where we talk about community of interest and the districts should attempt to preserve community of interest. So that's a should. And then we look down at 228, where we have a must. They must be politically competitive. And so I look at urban, say, Minneapolis, and obviously that's a community of interest. But tugging on that requirement is the political competitiveness, which suggests to me that that trumps it. And so we're looking then at pie-shaped, if you will, Minneapolis districts in particular, could be St. Paul, having the chunk of, if you will, DFL geography versus, and then expanding down into the perhaps the suburb areas where it's offset by maybe a more Republican tone. Is that the kind of the result that could occur out of this?
First thing to note is that these
criteria,
which
would be good for my party.
These criteria are kind of in rank order. That's the first thing to notice.
Okay.
The second thing is these criteria have to be done in balance because you can't fully accommodate each one of these criteria individually. And so it's a judgment that is being made as to community of interest versus competitiveness. And in the instance you described, based on court decisions, I think it's going to be hard to split. Let's take a heavily Democratic area.
Right.
It would be hard to split Minneapolis into enough areas to make it politically competitive vis-a-vis the Republican Party. I mean, I don't know how you get there without creating really weirdly shaped districts. It's even getting that way in Edina right now. It's in those ex-urban areas in our state where you do have that possibility, and in some of the rural areas. And that's where, when you start splitting towns and stuff, people really start to notice. And so it's a balancing act. None of it's perfect science, but I guarantee you with computers, somebody is running a number to figure out how do you get there.
Senator Pogemiller, as I look at this, though, subdivision 5 is a must, 6 is a must, 7 is a must, 8 is a should, 9 is a must.
I defer to Mr. Watson on that one. I don't know.
Seems to me the must trumps the should.
Mr. Chairman, I think that you are correct.
So you want to put a must in there?
I think the reason for having the softer language on communities of interest is because communities of interest are so difficult to define. They're so subjective, and they overlap each other. So it's difficult to do.
Yeah.
So it's a more of an aspiration, whereas the others are more concrete.
Yeah, you can measure political competitiveness. You look at election results,
and they do.
That is done now. People have computer runs of moving that 0.1%. Political subdivisions, minority representation, you can figure out because you have the numbers. So I think it's an aspiration. I like that, Mr. Watson. It's an aspiration.
Others.
Mr. Chairman, could I just ask?
Yes.
Do y'all hate this, members? Bach is shaking his head. Yes.
I'm not, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure it's an improvement.
Second.
Senator Pogramiller, you want to move your bill?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask, well, now that Senator Cohen's here, this could be difficult. Members, I would like to try to process the bill, and the reason is to show some deference to the work of a former vice president, some former governors of both political parties, and basically get the debate. We're 3, 4, 5 years ahead of this, and basically nurture the debate. So I would ask the committee members to allow this to go to the floor.
Mr. Chair,
I would move Senate File 2211.
Okay. 2211 has been moved. Discussion, Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I just got in from the conference committee, but what are we going to do with it on the floor, Senator Pogramiller?
Talk about it.
Well, I was going to, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pogramiller.
I was going to take it up on general orders and see if I couldn't convince the Senate to send it over to the House. I mentioned before you came in, Senator Cohen, I'm with a great deal of certainty that the House probably will not take this up this year.
What about
Senator
next,
Cohen?
Mr. Chairman, what about next year?
Depending Senator on who's Pogue. In charge of the House, they may or they may not. They've had the same presentation from this commission that the former vice president, two former governors, former majority leader, and Secretary of States who have recommended that we consider this. They've had that same presentation, and I believe at some point let's say it's the current House or something like the current House, I believe they would take it up and it'd probably look a lot different than this, and it may or may not pass.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Cohen,
I realize you've been talking about this, and I again just got in. But there's a certain degree of irony that the people you've mentioned are all formers, and when they were presents, they didn't. They weren't supportive or didn't decide it was an issue to be brought to our attention. Only when they became formers did they decide that this was a good idea.
Now they're nihilists.
Senator Metzen.
Senator Cohen, before you came in, I actually mentioned that I point blank asked Senator Moe, who had been involved in about four of these, are you serious? And he looked at me, we sat down and we talked, and he said, you know what, I've come to the conclusion after those four rounds that doing it outside the legislature actually might be a better idea. And his argument was it takes up a lot of time internally, and he fully understood that you can't totally take the politics out of this, but he thought some distance from the legislature might be helpful. So he genuinely felt that it could make a difference.
Senator Cohen?
Mr. Chairman, I realize this is the Rules Committee. This is a constitutional amendment, so we're not taking testimony. What committee?
No,
is this the Committee of Origin?
No, it's here because there's legislative appointments.
Well, legislative appointments, okay.
It's not a constitutional amendment. That's a key feature. It's not a constitutional amendment.
Okay, I'm sorry. This was heard, what, in Senator Rest's committee?
Yes.
And there was testimony from some of the members of the commission?
Yes.
And?
Well, we had actually a joint hearing in the summer, and the vice president, former vice president, two former governors, and Secretary of State and Senator Moe, and I think
Vanasek
was there. There were all kinds of formers that thought this was a good idea. This is not exactly the bill they wanted, but it's.
Did others,
Senator Cohen,
Mr. Chairman, did others other than people involved with the promulgation of this know the hearing was taking place, and were they given an opportunity to testify?
Yes.
Senator Pogramiller?
Yes. I do, just for Senator Cohen will enjoy this. An attorney in Minnesota, Alan Weinbatt, has sent me a very interesting letter laying out why he thinks this is a terrible idea. And I could share that with the committee.
And Mr. Chairman,
Senator Cohen?
Let's just make sure members of the committee understand that Mr. Weinblatt is maybe one of two or three attorneys who are most knowledgeable about reapportionment activity and law in the state and possibly the history of the state. So when you suggest some attorney was opposed, it wasn't just an attorney down the street.
That's correct. Very knowledgeable. And also an active participant, almost like being a legislator.
Others? Senator Metzen, did you have something?
Oh, I'm just listening.
Soaking it up.
Quite a.
This is, Mr. Chairman, this is a moment where, first I want to assure you that this would never be the final bill if it ever did go any further. I think if we could process it in the Senate, it would bring a lot more debate about it in the next year or two, and I think that would be good, and I think it would be good for Minnesotans, too, to get a thorough understanding of the process, and then I would trust that a thoughtful legislature after the next election, there'll be a new House, I believe that a thoughtful decision will be made one way or the other.
Okay. Senator Pogermiller moves, renews his motion. Senate file 2211 pass and move to the floor. On that, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
One aye. Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, I think we're done for the day. If I could just ask Ms. Helgen, do we have, are there other bills we're going to have to process here? What's the nature of them? Are there other late bills, or are we just talking about these omnibus bills?
There's a lot of late bills, but we'll have to look at everything and see if there's any more reasons.
Roblin.
We're not looking for more bills, so, but there may be a few omnibus things. So, meeting adjourned.